to Scotland. And as we were talking earlier, that last time we saw him, we were at the Norris Building. And so it's good to have him and his wife and kids with us tonight. You come on, Brother Brinkley, and present.
To grow and allow God to just work through the building projects here, and so we're excited to hear and to rejoice with you what God's done. We'd like to say thank you as a church for supporting us all this time. We came, I think, in 2005 when we had just started deputation, and we came to your church, and y'all took us on for support right there at the start, and it's been a blessing to us ever since. We are thankful for your faithfulness and financial giving, but also more for your prayers. And we need definitely your prayers to get us through there in Scotland. Scotland's a difficult field. We've had a lot of challenges there, but God is working. We're excited to see what God's doing in the ministry there, and you'll see on the video here in just a minute some of the things that are going on. I introduce myself. I'm Russell Brinkley, my wife Janet, and then our daughter Taylor, and then Dylan, and then our youngest daughter, new addition, she wasn't with us last time, is Danielle. And so she keeps us on our toes. Having that little three-year-old, she puts us all through the ringer, keeping us going. So we've really enjoyed her as an addition to the family. You'll see on the video that we deal a lot with children. And I was youth pastor at Boulevard Baptist Church, which is our sending church, for 4 years. That's where I trained, where I worked on staff, and I'm sent out of that church. Worked as a youth pastor there, and we knew going there to Scotland that we'd have a lot of opportunities to reach the kids there on that field. And we knew there would be opportunities, but there's been even more so than what we really thought going in. And again, God is just blessed. We're excited with what's going on, but you're going to see that a lot of our ministry is dealing with children starting off. We're starting to see some parents that are coming, and so we're excited about that. We'll go ahead and watch the video, and as soon as we get done with that, I'll give you a little bit more of an update on what's going on with that ministry since we've been gone here. So we'll go ahead and show the video right now. I'm Russell. This is my wife, Janet. These are our children, Taylor, Dylan, and Danielle. We are the Brinkleys. We have been serving our Lord in Scotland since January 2008. Instead of working with another missionary, the Lord seemed to be opening the doors for us to move directly into Perth and begin our ministry right away. Our first 4 months in Scotland were spent surveying, researching, and adjusting to the culture. I was quickly able to start volunteering with the local Meals on Wheels program and other community services. The people of Perth began to see me as a benefit to their city. Moving to Scotland was a difficult transition for our children as they said goodbye to grandparents and everything familiar in their lives. To help make the mission field of Scotland feel more like a home, we spent time as a family sightseeing, and soon we all fell in love with this land, which is rich in history and beauty. After just 4 months, Bible Baptist Church of Perth held its first service on May 4th, 2008. The Lord blessed us with a community center to rent, and we had two visitors for our first service. In that first year, we only had a few services where only our family was present. In January 2009, we moved the church services to our home because of maintenance problems at the community center. God continued to supply our needs and blessed us with growth. We had a high of 24 people at our one-year church anniversary service. We have seen one man, a few ladies, and many children walk through the doors of the church. Today, our core group is 12 children and two moms that come regularly. We are thankful that six of these children have made a profession of faith during our first 2 years of ministry. We'll be in the States on furlough until March of 2011, and during this time, missionary Jeff and Shelley Smith are taking over and continuing to provide a weekly service for our people.
Happy When we return to Scotland, we hope to buy a church van and a building to help us further our ministry for Christ. Thank you for partnering with us to reach the lost in Scotland.
Those are our diamonds in the rough. That's who God has given us to work with. But I'll tell you, that's who we're looking for the future of Scotland. We went over there with a firm belief that our God can still effect revival in that country. So many people told me when we were on deputation, they felt sorry for us going to Scotland, going to Europe, because it's cold and it's hard country to see souls be won. But you know what? God can still save souls over there. He called us to preach the gospel, to give them the truth, and let him get out of the way, let him do his work. And so we are happy to be able to do that. And again, we're excited that we've been able to, that we can say really we've had four church services since we went over there, since that ministry has begun, that has just been us as a family or the other missionary that's been looking after our work. So we've always had at least a new visitor, or we've had our regular people come. And so we're very excited about that. We're excited that our kids are looking forward to us coming back. And we're also excited because we've had some new additions to the church, or a new addition to the church since we've been gone. Last June, we had one of our supporting churches sent a youth group of 38 people over there to see the work and to just kind of help out and do some stuff. And we had them pass out some John Romans in town while they were there with us. And so as a result of that, a lady named Brenda, she had left the Church of Scotland. She knew what they taught wasn't true. And so she had started visiting other churches, wasn't finding anything that was teaching the truth, and just something didn't feel right to her. She went out on her own and bought a King James Bible and began to read that, and was home praying that God would send an answer to her of what she needed to do to get right with God. And so that day, as she was praying, one of those John Romans came through the door, had information about our church. She started to come to those services. Jeff and Shelley Smith were able to go to her home. They sat down with her, shared the plan of salvation. She didn't get saved right then, but when her husband got home that evening from work, she sat down and talked with him and told him what the missionary had shared, and they both agreed that they needed to get that taken care of. So both of them in their home prayed and asked the Lord to save them. And so Brenda is coming faithful now. She's going to be she wants to be baptized, and so she's going to be our first baptism when we get back. We're really excited that we're going to be able to do that. Use that as a time to teach those kids that have been saved, that teach them a little more about baptism, let them get a chance to see what it is and what it means. And so we're really excited, looking forward to just being able to move forward in God's work. And so, again, we thank you for your support in enabling us to be able to go over there and start this work. We also thank you so much for your prayers. I would ask you if you'd please remember to get one of our prayer cards on the table outside. We have these prayer cards. Just get those to remember to pray for us. I'm going to share just a few things that you could remember to pray with us about. First of all, I shared with the men up there this evening that the missionary Jeff Smith, he had cancer about 10 years ago, a brain tumor. That was treated, and they thought that everything was gone, but it came back a couple of months ago. It really has affected his balance, his ability to walk and talk. He had one that was back at the back portion of his brain. He also had one that's in the front. They were able to operate on the one in the back, but the one in the front was not able to be treated. They're going to start doing chemo on that tumor, but it's just to lengthen his life right now. It is a terminal cancer, and he is going to die from that unless the Lord intervenes. And so we are in prayer for him, that God would just work in his life and his family's life. They've been there on the field now for about 17 years, and so we're just praying for that family. We've had another missionary friend that has stepped in to look after the work until we get back, and that's Jim Van Voltenberg. And so we are just ask that you would pray for that whole situation until we're able to get back. Our plans are to go back now. We've got our tickets for March the 29th. We will fly back, and we will be on the ground March 30th in Scotland. And so pray for us as we continue on with our work. My son, you'll notice that his head is shaved. That's not just because I'm a mean father and he did something wrong, so I shaved all of his hair. He has a skin condition called alopecia. And so every so often in his life, his hair will just start to fall out. So he's going through one of those times right now in his life. So we would ask that you would join with us in prayer that God would let his hair grow back before we go back to Scotland. Those kids over there will have no mercy on him with that. And so as a parent, I would ask for you parents that you would please remember to pray for him, that God would let his hair grow back if that's his will. And so he also, if you've read our letters, was diagnosed in November of 2009 with type 1 diabetes. And so he's been dealing with that adjustment. That's been a big adjustment for our family, but even more so for him. He has to take at least 4 shots a day for his diabetes. And so that's tough for even us as adults. For a 9-10-year-old boy, that's a big change for his life. So we'd ask that you'd pray with us about that. Also, we're asking God to supply a building for us when we get back. We feel that that it would help that ministry. It would give us a little more credibility in town with the adults if we had a building of our own. For the Scottish people, they consider church to be the building. It's not us as the people. And so when we tell them we meet in a community center or we meet in our home, they consider us to be more of a cult than anything. And so we're praying that God would supply that need for a building as well. So, again, if you remember to get one of our prayer cards, join with us in prayer about those specific issues as God would lay us on your heart. We're going to go ahead and get into our preaching time this night. 1 Samuel chapter 5 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 5 tonight. The thought tonight is really dealing with missions and why we need missions in our world. Listen, I really do believe from the things that we're seeing around us, I believe our Lord is going to come back at any time. And I really believe as Christians and the example that the apostles set, that they were always looking for the Lord to return. And we see in their writings that they even expected possibly in their own lifetime that He was going to return. And I think that expectation to see Him come back caused them to live their life the way they did. They didn't feel like there was time to just sit around waiting and not be working about God's business and not reaching out to the world and not telling others about Christ. They just went out doing God's work, and they expected that He was going to come back, and they wanted to be found faithful when He did return. And really, that's the idea of missions. It's about going out and telling others about Christ. It's not just sending missionaries around the world to go to a place where God's maybe not called you to go, but you're sending others to go in your stead. But it's also walking out the doors of the church and being involved in the lives of those who are lost around us. Whether it's who you work with or go to school with, whatever aspect of life, we come in contact with multitudes of lost people in the world today. On my video, I wrote that the churches there in Scotland, they're filled, the pulpits are filled with men and women that have no power in their preaching, because many of them are lost and have no idea of the saving graces of God. They have no idea that through faith alone they can trust Christ. They're trusting either baptism or they're trusting the Pope or some other entity or something to get them to heaven. And we live in a world today that needs to hear the gospel, that needs to hear the saving graces of God. We're going to begin reading there in chapter 5 and verse 1. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. When they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. Then look in verse 7. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." In verse 11. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel, let it go again to his own place, that it slayeth not, and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. Have a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for loving us enough to send Christ to die in our stead, Lord, to be our Savior. Lord, thank you so much for being able to call upon that precious name. And Lord, know that we're saved. Know that we'll spend eternity with you in heaven. And tonight, Lord, we just pray that everything that's said and done will glorify you through your word. Lord, I ask that you would give me clarity of thought. Lord, give me, Lord, the ability to speak as you've laid the message upon my heart. Lord, I just pray for each one listening tonight that you would just remove distractions from us. Lord, that it would be our desire to hear from the word of God, that we might hear your voice through your precious word tonight. Father, we love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. We see in this story that the Philistines, they had taken the ark of God. But what happened prior to this in chapter 4 was that the Philistines had fought a battle with the nation of Israel. And they had been victorious in that first battle. The Jewish people decided, they understood that, listen, they went to battle without the power of God there fighting in their stead, fighting for them. And they thought, well, let's send back to our camp. Let's send back and get the ark of God and bring it back to our camp so that we will have God in our midst and the power of God in our presence, and we'll have God fighting this battle for us. And that sounds great, and that really is what we want, is for God to stand behind us and to fight for us. But the problem was, it was a deeper battle that they were facing. It wasn't just a matter of bringing the power of God to their presence. There was a heart issue in their life. They weren't right with God. Their priests weren't right with God. They weren't living and doing what they were supposed to. And so merely bringing the ark into their presence wasn't going to solve the problem. And so they brought the ark into their camp, and they were shouting and they were excited. And the Philistines were like, what in the world's going on? Why is the army of the nation of Israel so excited? Because we just beat them. We just defeated their armies, and they're all shouting and hollering. They're excited. And then they realized there in chapter 4 that it was because the ark had been brought into the camp. And it tells us in verse 7 of chapter 4 that the Philistines, they were afraid because the power of God had been brought into the camp. They weren't afraid of the Jewish army, but they were sure afraid of the power of the God of Israel. They understood that there was power there. And so they didn't want to fight this battle. But God lays on their hearts in chapter 4, verse 9, He lays in the hearts of the Philistines. He says, no, you're going to fight this battle. Quit yourselves like men and fight so that you aren't going to have to answer to the Israelites. He says, quit yourselves and fight like men. And so God tells the Philistines to fight this battle. They fight the battle. They are victorious. And that's where we find them in chapter 5, verse 1, that they have fought that battle. They take the ark from the nation of Israel and they bring it back to their camp. And that brings me really to my first point tonight of why we need missions in our world today. Why we need to be involved in the work of missions is because organized religion is trying to rob God from us. We see throughout our country this massive movement of different religions that are preaching things that are contrary to God's Word. There's a church just a couple of miles or a mile or so down the road that I would be willing to bet probably isn't preaching the truth. But listen, the Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Assemblies of God, the Church of Christ, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, all these churches, they claim to preach the truth. But the reason that they're wrong is because they don't adhere to the Word of God. Listen, a lot of them will say, well, we believe in faith in Christ, that saves. But when you really press the issue and ask them what they believe in faith in Christ plus baptism, plus works. They believe you can lose your salvation. They teach other methods to get saved other than what this Bible teaches. And because of that, many, many people are going to be deceived and led to the devil's hell because they've not been taught the truth. TBN is full of people that are only concerned about money. They're not concerned with the souls of those who sit in their congregation. They're concerned with how fat their wallet is and how much money they can get from those people. Right. Organized religion is robbing God from us. I'm going to tell you, they're winning the battle today. Listen, it is great that your church is growing and you're seeing people come, but these mega churches are growing even faster. We see people leaving our churches. We see fundamental independent Baptist churches that are changing their standards so that they can get more people in, all for the sake of numbers and money. Organized religion, just like the Philistines, took the power of God from the nation of Israel. We see them trying to take our power. They laugh at us because we still believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Oh, I can't believe y'all are so not up to date with the rest of the world. They tell us that we sing out of the hymnals and that's just not good music anymore. It's not good enough for us to sing to God. We need to be up to date with the new music that's more worldly. Because that's really, isn't that what the church is supposed to be, is more worldly? No. Progressive church, they like to say now. I like to ask those people that are progressive church, well, what are you progressing towards? I mean, really, what are you trying to move towards? Are you saying that we're not, all these churches for hundreds and thousands of years have not been scriptural enough and so you are progressing closer to God? What? Listen, organized religion is robbing God from us. But Paul gives us some admonitions of things that we need to look out for. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Amen. Paul says, listen, I want you to understand that you better pay attention, church, and be careful that you know what the gospel of Christ is, that you know what this Bible teaches. And if I, even Paul, which was responsible for starting that church, teaching and training, he says, even if I were to come back through the doors of that church and begin to teach you something contrary to what I've already taught you, I'm the one that should be accursed. Don't listen to what I have to say. Don't hear my message. You should get as far away from me as you can. That was Paul's admonition. And that's an admonition to you as a church that you better know the Word of God and hold the man of God accountable to preaching God's Word. We don't have the authority, brother, do we, to just stand up and say whatever we want to.
Amen.
This is not our message, it's God's message, and we better make sure that we pray that the Holy Spirit of God moves in our heart to give you what you need to hear.
Amen.
Paul says even if an angel from heaven were to come and give some other gospel, that angel should be accursed. Isn't that what the Mormon church says? The angel from heaven came and gave them some golden tablets. Listen, if those people had known their Bible, they would have told Joseph Smith that you are accursed. I don't want anything to do with you. And they would have ran from him. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned." Listen to these last three words, "and avoid them." Paul says, you should mark these people. You know who they are. You look at them. And if they're teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, you should mark that person. You should stay as far away from them as you can. I think that's another admonition to us as church that, listen, we should make our affiliations with our church family. This should be who we rejoice with God. This should be who we pray with each other about. This should be where we laugh and cry together. This church is banded together as a family, as a body, as a unit. And God wants us to affiliate with that unit and not with those from other religions. We don't like that message today because we want to be able to hang out with whoever we want to, whenever we want to. But God says we ought to mark those people and stay away from them. Why is that important? I think one reason, you know, if I'm hanging out with somebody that says my preacher is crazy for preaching the King James Bible, all he's doing is tearing down what my pastor's trying to teach. He's tearing down what my church is trying to do. He's sowing seeds of doubt that maybe my pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. Listen, God wants us to guard against our affiliations, who we hang around and who we are with. But the Philistines, we find that they took the Ark of God thinking that that was going to keep Israel from having any desire to fight, from having any desire to rise up again and to try to fight another battle. Organized religion is trying to rob God from us. I think the second reason tonight is that the world has lost its reverence for the holiness of God. We live in a wicked world today that just has no desire for the things of God anymore. We live in a world that's not concerned with God. They don't care about the church any longer. It used to be that people even if they were lost, had at least a little respect for the house of God, for the man of God. If they knew you were a Christian, they would maybe change the way they do things. But it's not that way anymore today. We find that churches are a target for people to come try to break in and steal stuff. We find that people, if they find out you're a Christian, it seems like they go out of their way to say something foul-mouthed and dirty in front of you, just to see what we're going to do. And I wonder if somehow maybe the reason the world has lost its reverence for the holiness of God is because of the way that we live. Maybe they look at our life and say, you know, they don't act like the God that they serve is that special. They don't act like He's that wonderful and holy and precious. So why should I have any reverence for Him? And the way we think we can speak however we want to in front of our God. We think we can dress however we want to in front of our God. We can go anywhere we want to and take our God there. There's no limits for us. We can smoke. We can do whatever. That, you know, unfortunately, we see in our churches that some people have that attitude. But our God is a wonderful, holy, precious God. If you read the Bible, the great men and women of God and the Word of God, they reverenced God. Even speaking His name was something precious to them. And they thought, listen, when I'm in God's presence, they would fall on their face and they would pour out their heart and their soul to God and they would cry out His name and they spoke like their God was the greatest thing in the world and He was worth any sacrifice that they had to make. Do we have that attitude today? Listen, the world needs to see that we as independent Baptists, if we are spreading the truth, they need to see that we believe that our God is something incredible. They need to know that our God still is in the miracle working business. They need to know that, you know what? When good things happen in our life, we shouldn't take credit for it. We should say, you know, this happened because God is blessed. Because God did that. He gave me that job. He gave me that raise. He helped me to do good in whatever aspect of our life. We should give God the credit and the praise and glory for everything that He's done. We're no longer a vessel under ourselves. God's working through us. We should give Him praise and honor for all that He has done. Just a couple of verses. The Bible says in Zephaniah 3, verse 5, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth He bring His judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. That's really the world that we live in today. The unjust, they really know no shame. That we see today that people that there's no ability to blush anymore. Nothing is off limits anymore. We can see whatever we want to. We drive down the highway and these billboards are filled with filth. The TV has filth on it. The radio has filth. We see it all around us today. There's no shame. But it says in that verse that the Lord is in the midst thereof and He will not do iniquity. That ought to cause us to rejoice. One reason to rejoice about our God is that He never does anything wrong. He's never going to ask us to do anything wrong. He's never going to lead us down the wrong path. He'll never ask us to do something that's going to harm our walk with Him. And that gives us confidence in our God that if we'll just trust Him and walk with Him, that we never have to worry about being off. We never have to worry about being out of His will. We'll just turn over everything to Him. Psalm 139, verse 4 through 6, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. That verse tells us that God knows what we're going to speak before we even speak it. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows everything about us. And again, that ought to give us cause to rejoice about the God that we serve. Listen, that's what the world needs to see, is that our God is not out of touch with what's going on. He knows where this world is headed. And I think we live in an uncertain world today. We live in a world full of people that have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, especially with the economy, the way things are going. People are so uncertain. They're so worried about what's going to happen in their life. But we have a God and serve a God that knows exactly what's going on. He is not out of touch. He still controls everything. And that gives us cause to rejoice. We shouldn't let the world see that we're worried about how our lives are going, because we have confidence in the God that we serve. last reason I think that we need to be involved in missions tonight is because the reality of God makes all men accountable. We find here in our passage that the Philistines had brought the Ark of God into their camp. They had just set it right alongside their God. They had Dagon was in his place of prominence here. But they brought the Ark of God into their camp. And they knew that that Ark had a special power. They acknowledged that power back in chapter 4 before they fought the second battle. They knew that there was something special about that God, but they still brought it and they just set it right alongside their old God that didn't have any power. And they saw the evidence of that, the power of Almighty God. He humbled Dagon. They come out the next morning and they, I wonder what happened here. So they get him and they dust him off and they set him back up in his place. Go to sleep. They come back the next morning and there's their God humbled again before the power of the real God. His head was off, his hands were off, and they started to put two and two together. There might be something going on here. And then they started having some physical problems with their bodies, and they said, oh, man, we got to do something about this. Something's got to change here because we're starting to, when people's lives start getting affected, they ain't real happy. And they start putting things together and say, you know, we got to get things worked out here. And they said, well, this is because we have the power of God in our midst. Verse 7 says, the men of Ashdod saw that it was so. They said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us. They said, listen, we know that this is the power of God. This is because of God Almighty. He is now working in our life, and he ain't happy about being here. We got to do something about getting this resolved. And so what their plan was, in verse 11, says, they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines, said, send away the ark of the God of Israel, let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not. They thought that simply sending the power of God out of their life would resolve their problems. That if they just got rid of this power and sent it back where it belonged, that that was going to solve all the issues of their life. But I'm going to tell you that there was still destruction that was going to be reaped on their life. Had they acknowledged God and treated that God as the holy God, I believe their lives could have been changed. They knew it was God, but they didn't worship that God. They just said, you know what? I think we're better off sending the power of God out of our life, and then we're going to go back to our God that doesn't do anything, that has no power, that's never solved any of our problems. We'll just go back to worshiping that God. And isn't that what we see the world do day in and day out? As they come into our churches and they hear the Word of God, as we go out and reach them in the streets and tell them about the gospel of Christ, you see the Holy Spirit dealing in their heart. And they say, man, that sounds so good. I would love to get my life right. I would love for everything to be made whole. I would love to have a relationship with Christ. I would love to know Him as my Savior. But I think I'm just going to stick with that same old God that has no power. And they send the Holy Spirit of God out of their life. And they're going to face all of eternity in a devil's hell because of that choice. They will answer to God. They will be accountable to God for their decision. But they're not the only ones that are going to stand accountable to God. Listen, we as Christians also are going to give an account of our life. We're going to give an account of what we've done for God, how we've lived. We don't have to worry about losing our salvation because that's been secured. But we do have to worry about whether God's pleased with what He sees when He looks in our life. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul apparently lived his life in such a way that he made his number one priority in life to share the gospel with everybody that he came in contact with. He made it a point in his life that when he stood at judgment day, no one would point a finger and say, why didn't you tell me? Yeah. If you really believed in the Jesus Christ of the Bible and the God of the Bible, why didn't you take the time to share me? If you really believe that hell is real, why didn't you just one time at least share the gospel with me? Can we say that in our lives? Can we say in our life that as we stand at judgment, that there won't be somebody there pointing a finger at us? Why didn't you care? Why didn't you care enough about me to to just tell me that Jesus Christ loved me and died for me. The challenge tonight, will you be involved in doing the work of missions where God has you? Not just sending people in your stead, but walking out the doors and meeting people on the streets, meeting people where they are, and sharing the gospel into their lives. I ask if every head's bowed and eyes closed tonight. No one's looking around tonight. I'd just like to ask a couple of questions. First tonight, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you have never had that moment in your life where you said, Lord Jesus, I want to call on your name. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. If you don't know where you would spend eternity tonight if you were to die, would you just slip your hand up and back down? Anyone that's not ever been saved tonight, just slip your hand up and right back down. Christians here tonight, maybe you would say, you know, I know that I'm saved, but I've not been yielded to God. I've not allowed God to work in my heart and work through my life. I've not been the testimony that I ought to be. I've not been a soul winner. I've not been involved in reaching others with the gospel of Christ. That's you tonight. Would you just slip your hand up and right back down? Anyone tonight? I see hands. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? You can slip your hand up and right back down. I just want to pray for you tonight. Father, we are so thankful again that you are our Lord and Savior. Lord, that we do worship and serve the true God. Lord, tonight I just pray that you would be with each one that, Lord, lifted their hand tonight as a testimony that your Holy Spirit is, Lord, moving in their heart. Lord, I ask tonight that we would have boldness to just step out and, Lord, come to the altar tonight and allow you to work in our lives, that we would each, Lord, be involved in spreading the gospel, that we would, Lord, see the opportunities around us to reach the lost, Lord, with the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your watch care in our lives. And, Lord, just pray that you would continue to work through us, Lord, to affect the changed lives of the multitudes around us. We love you tonight in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. I ask if you'd stand tonight.